Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. During the season of Easter, we do not have an Old Testament reading, but rather we hear from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. We're in the 11th chapter of Acts for today's reading. Peter had a vision and was called to go up to Joppa to minister and witness to and baptize a Gentile who was there. Word has come back to Jerusalem about the events, and now Peter explains the things that have happened. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So Peter went up to Jerusalem. The circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean cannot be called common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as it had on us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the book of Revelation. Again, in Series C that we're in right now, we have a set of readings from Revelation. The last reading we had from Revelation was from chapter 7. Between there and the end, we have four visions. John is given four visions of the things that are to come between Christ's ascension and his return. And each of those visions sort of goes just a little bit further into the events of Christ's return until we get to the end of this fourth vision, where now the rest of Revelation focuses on those things that'll happen when Christ comes again. And we have these words: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, or crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
If you're looking at your insert, you'll notice that that's not what the chapter says on the insert. There's an alternate reading for today that we are using. And what has happened is we're in the upper room again. We're now before Christ's betrayal, death, and resurrection. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He has just washed his disciples' feet, revealing that one of them would betray him. And Judas has left the building. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Well, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another school year has come and gone. Another group of children is ready to set out into this life's grand adventure. These graduates have spent these last several formative years of their lives learning, growing, and making sure to know their three R's: reading, writing, and arithmetic. You guys don't know that last word, I bet. Math. I know. They have learned to cook, clean, and on occasion, how to do laundry. And soon, they will learn new skills, either from a book, from a professor, or on-the-job experience. Yes, these graduates have been deemed ready to take on the world, move out of their parents' basement, and begin the next chapter of their lives. But graduates, before that day comes, before that happens, here's one last lesson for you to take to heart. Love one another. No, it's not that weird, ooey-gooey kind of love between a husband and wife or a young couple still in that honeymoon phase. This love is something different. It's more than just having a brotherhood, a sense of fidelity. This love is unconditional. It doesn't come with paying a subscription fee. It comes through faith in Christ. For it is Christ who taught this kind of love to his disciples all those years ago. And it's been passed down from one generation to the next, and so on and so forth. It's a love that we learn and see through the work and person of Jesus. See, in our text this morning, as Pastor already mentioned, we go back to that night of betrayal. We go back to the night when Judas will betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And as the meal has come to an end, and Judas is now departed, Jesus gives one last lesson to his disciples. This is what he says: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Loving one another is not new. If we go back to Leviticus 19, the Lord said to Moses, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." a love that was to be shown between everyone, regardless of who they are or what they have done. Even Jesus reaffirms this in Mark 12 and Matthew 22. Loving someone other than yourself is what he teaches. Teaching them to love one another. This is not a new concept for the people of God. However, notice the difference in the words that Jesus uses. He doesn't say, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, love one another as I have loved you. These disciples are given a clear and important task to love one another. But this love isn't defined by the law. It isn't defined by your neighbors. It's one that's defined by Christ and by his love alone. A love that will take him from this peaceful meal all the way to the cross, where he ultimately shows everyone what kind of love he truly has. A love that is self-sacrificing. A love that is given to his creation. And one that they never asked for. And this is the love that is shown to his disciples, and one that they are to show to each other. And one that others actually will notice, will see. And you'll see it in their actions, and not just hear it in their words. And it's true. And that really is the case. See, as we move on from Maundy Thursday, and we move on to see how the disciples live and act, especially after the crucifixion and after the ascension of Jesus, we see how they work together, helping each other, even breaking bread with strangers, breaking bread with those new to the faith. We see this and how they saved a guard's life by remaining in jail when escape was right before them. We see this when Peter healed a lame beggar. You see it when Paul would always, always put his trust and love in the Lord, helping others, even regardless of what happened to him and his life. And see, what's more amazing is that the love between the 12 is the love shown between the new disciples, those new to the faith, those who upon observing these disciples, the 12, seeing them care for each other, help one another, they started to do the exact same thing. Soon they started selling their belongings so that others could have food, supplies, or just basic things for everyday life. You see it even more when they take the first fruits brought up to the altar and distribute it to the widows and the fatherless. We see this love grow between the disciples. We see it grow with every new generation of Christians. We see this in our world today. And by our actions, the world knows to whom you and I belong. For that is the love that's shared between us still. And what started that faithful night had grown to encompass the world in ways that you and I do not see. But still, as much as there is love still found in this world and among us Christians, you still find hate. And you still hear and learn about love that's conditional. The world operates with a putrid, disgusting definition of love. It operates in a way that demands you pay for it. You earn it. And it's not freely given. And we have seen this. We have observed this. We observe this so much that we mimic it in our own actions. See, one of the hardest things that we often forget is that the world is watching our every move. As Christians, what we say and what we do is on display for everyone to see and to hear. There's no denying that. So in those moments of weakness, when that old Adam is ripe with cruel intentions, we forget what our Lord commanded. We forget that we have to love one another as he has loved us. And so instead of coming to someone's aid, we wait. Instead of when someone's asking for help and signing your name to a board, you walk past it. And we hope that someone will respond to the text first. We hope that someone else will go to their aid. We hope that someone else will do it. See, when you and I forget to love one another as He has loved us, we forget that we are His disciples just the same. You and I are not perfect. We're far from it. We are fallen, sinful creatures who are in desperate need of a Savior to constantly show us what love looks like perfectly, how it's supposed to be. And that is what we see in Christ. We see a love that goes beyond expectations, a love that goes beyond the definition that the world offers, a love that stands in spite of what the world says. We see a love that is that does not make sense, but yet it is a love for you and for me. See, as we come after that, back to that night, and after the institution of the supper, and after Judas has begun his path of betrayal, Jesus demonstrates beautifully the remarkable will and love of God. See, this is what Jesus says. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. We may not often think about this, but Judas' betrayal is Jesus' glory and the Father's glory. The betrayal and the resulting suffering and death is the glory of all God's planning since the fall. In Jesus, through His betrayal, His arrest, His suffering, crucifixion, and death, God is fulfilling all that He promised. Jesus' sacrifice not only and completely fulfilled, replacing the need for further animal sacrifices on the altar of God. Jesus' sacrifice is a fulfillment of what God promised through the prophets all those years. Jesus is the only one to bear our iniquity, the one who crushed the serpent's head, and the only one who can set the captives free. This eternal love of God has broken into our cold and loveless world. And so ever since, the angels proclaimed to the shepherds that night in the field that a Savior is born, that He is Christ the Lord. This love finds its glory now, here at this betrayal. God's glorious plan since the fall was that Jesus would be betrayed, He would suffer, that He would die, and that He would rise again. And so what we see was meant for evil that night turned out for our good. See, this plan is truly glorious because it's done only for one reason, to rescue you and me. See, through His sacrifice, He satisfied the law's demand for the execution of the sinner. His death destroyed death. He paid the price that you and I could never pay. And by doing so, life and salvation are now ours through faith in Him. His sacrifice is the greatest showing of love ever in this world. And amazingly, this love was not just for the 12 disciples. Not just for them, but for you and for me. For a world that still either hates Him or does not yet know Him. He sacrificed Himself all the same. And that self-sacrificing, unchanging, persistent love of God reaches you and me, received us in faith. God's love makes us new trees. Yes, trees, good trees. And by the Holy Spirit, these good trees bear good fruit. The love of Christ in redeemed sinners produces love. Love for God and love for one another. It was that self-sacrificing love of Christ that changed the disciples. It changed how they act, how they think, and what they say. The love that they were shown motivated them to continue what they had been taught, to continue to look past what others would say and still be loving to each other and to others. It became part of their everyday lives. It became part of them. So much so that when others would see how they act, how what they say and what they do, others would be motivated and moved by them. It changed them. And so as the years moved on, more and more were added to the faith. More and more shared the exact same kind of love and sharing the love that they received from Christ. So as generation after generations of Christians grew, this self-sacrificing love was shown again and again. It became the hallmarks of Christianity, testifying to the one who first showed us this love. And this self-sacrificing love stands in clear opposition to the putrid definition of love this world passes off. This righteous kind of love testifies to be patient with each other. It teaches us to be kind, not arrogant or boastful. It teaches us humility and meekness. It teaches us to endure, to have faith, to hope, and to believe. This love motivates us to be there for one another, to lend a helping hand, to sign that board asking for help, and to be the first to respond whenever the call arises. This love teaches us to love one another as Christ loved us and loves us still. So graduates, as you head out into this wide and crazy world, moving on to the next chapter of your life, remember. Remember what you've been taught in school. Remember what your parents have taught you. And remember what our Lord said. Love one another as I have loved you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.